Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
This morning, my sermon is entitled, The Extent of Mercy's Reach. Before sin entered, mercy was there. And we're going to take a look at Genesis 3. And as we work our way through that chapter, we're going to find 5 points that we're going to look at where God revealed his mercy even at the fall of man. Before they needed it, mercy was there. Has anybody ever experienced the feeling of powerlessness? Not a great one, is it? A parent sitting beside their 16-year-old as they get behind the wheel for the first time. A husband standing beside his wife as she's giving birth, unable to do anything. I have a funny story, but I'm not going to share it this morning with that one. But there was one time that terrified me, that feeling of powerlessness. I was in the ocean with my children who were 4 and 2 at the time. And the ocean that day was extremely calm. They were decked out in their inflatables, and I thought everything was safe. And then I felt a tug of the water pulling me backwards. I looked behind us. This wave out of nowhere was building, and by the time it got to us, it was 5 feet over my head. Both children were ripped from my arms. Their floaties, the inflatables, were ripped off them. We went through a spin cycle. I was completely powerless to do anything in that moment, and it terrified me. Fortunately, there were some people on the beach that helped rescue my kids, and we made it out alive. But that feeling of not being able to do something at that time, you know, that's what Adam and Eve experienced. They were not able to restore what was lost the moment they disobeyed God. Only God could restore that. Last week, Pastor Jack, he spoke on judgment. If you haven't listened to any of these messages lately, go online. There's some really good stuff there. A.W. Tozer, in one of my favorite books, The Knowledge of the Holy, he says this about mercy. As judgment is God's justice confronting moral inequity, so mercy is the goodness of God confronting human suffering and guilt. But this next quote, it's also by Tozer. Mercy never began to be, but from eternity was, so it will never cease to be. Forever his mercy stands, a boundless, overwhelming immensity of divine pity and compassion. And that's my focus today. I want each of you to walk away with the knowledge, if you don't know so already, that before you need it, his mercy is there. Okay? When we stumble, he's already there. That mercy is available because it's a part of who he is. You can't strip him from his mercy any more than you can take away his powerful might. He is compelled to show to his creation, to his people, and to do for them what they cannot do for themselves. In fact, from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find mercy like a river flowing throughout the scriptures because God delights in showing mercy. And we see its ultimate display in the cross of Jesus. So this morning we're going to see that God's compassionate love, his chesed, that's the Hebrew word for mercy or faithful love, that compassionate love for his creation leads him to do for it what it cannot do for itself. It forgives, liberates, and it does that for those who have no right to such blessings. So let's go ahead and turn our attention to our text this morning, Genesis 3. Most of you are aware of the story here in Genesis. How Adam and Eve were placed in the garden by God, created by God in his image to be fruitful, multiply, and to subdue the earth. They were given authority, and there was somebody else who wanted that authority, that sneaky Satan who disguised himself as a serpent in the garden, and he has a conversation with Eve, and we know how Eve was deceived in that conversation and how in verse 6 it plays out. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and she ate, and she gave it also to her husband who was with her, and he ate. The Hebrew words that were used by the author, who we know is Moses, wrote this book, they're some of the hardest Hebrew words to pronounce. You have to slow down to get the syllables in, and that seems intentional because when you slow down to read this verse, it sinks in what happened. She saw, she took, she ate, she gave, he ate, sin entered. And at that point, all of history took a different path. But it did not disrupt the sovereignty of God. It never changed who he was. You know, his plan still goes forth to this day. He would have to be the one to come make right what they had done. And he was faithful, and he did. Okay, but here's where I am absolutely so glad that God is in charge. If some of us were in charge, we would have hit the restart button, right? Like we play video games. We would have said, okay, they blew it. Let's start it over with somebody else. That was not a game, and that's not the nature of our God. He loves his children. His love is a burning, jealous type of love that pursues us. We're going to see that as this unfolds. So the first part here, mercy's preemptive work. This is our first point of where we see mercy displayed here. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. It's very creative, wasn't it? God's mercy always preempts our sin and failure. So let me explain what I mean here. Their ability at that moment to recognize they had a need was a God-given ability that he hardwired into the human nature. If we don't know our need, then we will not seek a remedy. In 2004, NBC aired a story on a little girl named Ashlyn. And some of you might have heard the story already. She was born with a rare genetic disorder that prevents her from feeling pain. So it's very dangerous. When this little girl started getting her teeth as a baby, she would bite her lip until it was bloody, and she didn't know what was going on. You know, and one time she was sucking her thumb, stripped off the flesh. I had no idea. So this little girl cannot feel pain. She is not aware of her need. Her mother said this. She said, "Some people would say about the pain that it's a good thing not to feel it, but no, it's not. Pain is there for a reason. It lets your body know that there's something wrong and that it needs to be fixed. I'd give anything for her to feel pain." Wow. A parent to say that about a child because she knows the dangers that exist when you're not aware of your need. Our shame and our guilt point to our need for God and his mercy. Adam and Eve, they attempted to do something about their shame and guilt, but rather than driving them back to God, their guilt leads them into a self-atoning, a self-protecting procedure. They hide from God. They put their own coverings on, and they were creative. They used fig leaves, but it was completely inadequate. Whenever we try to cover our own sin in our own power, in our own creativity, it's always inadequate. Only God can provide the covering we need for the sin and for the shame and guilt that we feel from the sin. Hebrews 4:13 says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's eyes. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." At that moment that Adam and Eve disobeyed, things drastically changed. But God's mercy was there before Adam and Eve needed it. And we see this in verse 9, mercy's pursuit. God pursued them. So the Lord God called out to the man, and he said to him, "Where are you?" Parents of young children, we all know when we hear the kids playing, that's a good sign. It's when they're quiet that we need to worry, right? Yes, there was one time the cops showed up at my door saying, "We received a 911 call for emergency at your home." I was so shocked. All 8 kids, we had some friends over, could not be found. They decided it would be fun to play a prank call on 911. Yes, we go and search out our children for their own good, for their own protection. Do you really believe God had no idea where Adam and Eve were? This question was to draw them out. He knew everything they had done. He knew exactly where they were. He knows exactly where we are in our walk with him. God's mercy is not passive. It always pursues us. It chases us down. He delights in you. He wants your relationship with him to be one where you delight in him. He comes to you with the questions like he does with Adam and Eve. These questions are for Adam and Eve. Who told you you were naked? And this he says, who did you choose to believe? Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to? By that he was saying, so you chose to disobey me. And what is this that you have done? And in this is getting to the motive. This question here that was behind the action. And that's what God's questions do. There was a time where God stopped me in my tracks with a question. For those of you who believe my relationship with my husband doesn't involve arguing, I'm here to set it straight. One day we were in a very heated argument, and I knew I was right. and I was going to prove it. But I was so angry at that moment. I was searching through a drawer to find the proof, and I didn't care if I hurt his feelings in the way I was going about it. I was going to prove myself right. And God said, Delaina, what are you doing? The question stopped me because, like, you know everything, God. You know what I'm doing. I'm right. He's wrong. I'm going to prove him wrong. And then he says, why? Well, I ignored that question and I continued my search. And I'm looking through the drawer and I didn't quite find what I was looking for, but I did find what God wanted me to find. It was an old family photo album from my childhood up to my teen years. And in a flash, God showed me the various times that he had showed me mercy. So when I was in this unmerciful pursuit to prove myself right and hurt my husband in the process, God in his mercy stopped me. So at that moment, I just dropped to the floor in tears. I said, I'm so sorry. Thank you for the gift of my husband. And I didn't prove myself right that time, and I was okay with it. I could have, but I would have been wrong in the way I was going about it. So God's questions, they seek for us to take responsibility for our actions, but Adam and Eve, they were quick to pass the blame. Well, this woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit and I ate it. Well, the serpent, he deceived me, and I took and I ate of the fruit. Well, even in his mercy, God didn't strike them down right there, even though they didn't take responsibility at that moment. Instead, he reveals, as he's telling them, the six pronouncements of judgment against first the serpent, and then the woman, and then the man. The very first judgment reveals something else about God's mercy. It reveals mercy's promise. So in verse 15, it says, I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And that word seed there means offspring, and her seed is talking about Jesus. He will strike your head with a crushing blow, and you will strike his heel. This is speaking of what takes place when Jesus suffers and dies on the cross. But even as the serpent struck his heel, Jesus, the heel of Jesus, the foot of the Messiah would descend, crushing the serpent's head. In Christ's life and death, this scripture was fulfilled. He's divinely begotten, means he's begotten by God, but he was fully human. By his death and resurrection, he defeated and made a public spectacle of the powers of hell. In this verse right here, we have the promise and the prophecy of the Messiah. And this is the very first mention of the gospel. Here in judgment, that is mercy. And I think it's rather interesting. It's amazing, actually, how God did this. Woman, she plays a part in fulfilling this prophecy. And it was through woman that Satan deceived mankind into sin. But yet God used a woman to bring forth the Messiah. Wow, isn't that amazing? So let's move on. Verses 16 through 19, they describe the sentence against Adam and Eve and how they would have to live with the consequences of their sin. But even in the living out of those consequences, God's goodness can be seen. You know, when we make decisions that don't line up with God's desires, we still sometimes have to deal with the consequences of those decisions. But God works in those in ways that we don't even know he can. My mother, at the age of 16, she got pregnant. And this was 45 years ago. People didn't look kindly on you at that time if you were pregnant and 16. The guy that got her pregnant, he took off. He didn't want anything to do with her. She went to school for a while. And the looks, the stares from the people, the comments, the condemnation she felt, she quit school. But she decided to keep the baby. And I'm so glad she did. Because I'm standing here today because of that. You know, God worked. Amen. God worked in that situation. And my mom is the first to tell you that he used the consequences of that sin that she committed. He used that to draw her back to himself. And I wasn't always a joy to deal with growing up. But she does call me a blessing in disguise. Yeah, in disguise. No sin. God speaks a word in these verses 16 through 19. The word has to do with their a life function and also relationship. For example, for the woman, she would now have pain in childbirth. Thank you, Eve, so much for that. But she would also be affected in her relationship with her husband. But yet, when man received the mandate from God to be fruitful, to multiply and to subdue. He never took that back. But instead, now they have to deal with the pain that comes along with doing that. But thank God he didn't remove the joy, the pleasure, and the happiness that we still experience to this day. When a woman has pain in childbirth, it's horrible. But as soon as she holds that baby in her arm, there's a renewed sense of hope, joy. That's a gift from God. In our relationships, we're going to have struggles that we're going to need to work through. But God gives the wisdom. And when we depend on him, he can restore those relationships. That's a gift from God. You know, we work hard to provide for our families. At times, it's very difficult and frustrating. But receiving the reward of our labor and being able to provide for our families, that's a gift from God. So you see his mercy woven in even throughout the consequences of sin. After he pronounces judgment that contained mercy's promise, he does something that reveals his merciful provision. In verse 21, we'll get to that in a minute. Verse 21 actually says, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them." Mercy's provision covers us from sin and its effects. So here we see mercy displayed in that God gives them animal skins as coverings. He designs, he's like a designer outfit by God. You know, how awesome is that? So much better than the fig leaves, which were probably withering at this point. But this is the first mention in scripture where an animal is sacrificed in order to provide for human need. So this is symbolic of the Old Testament sacrificial system. Without the shedding of blood, we know, it says in scripture, there can be no forgiveness of sin. So the covenant love of God required that innocent animals be sacrificed to provide garments of skin as a covering for Adam and Eve, and he did this through the means of a sacrifice. So the contrast between Adam and Eve's what design of the fig leaves and what they provided for themselves, something we need to pay attention to, okay? The first one, their fig leaves, that's an attempt to cover oneself. The second is accepting a covering from another, from God. The first is man-made, and the second is made by God himself. Adam and Eve are in need of a salvation that comes from without. And that's what this covering symbolizes. Under the new covenant, you and I, we are clothed. If you go through the scriptures and look at the different areas, the wordings that God uses to see what he clothes us with, wow, it's cool. So he clothes us with strength. I just read it in Psalm 18. He clothes us with his righteousness. He clothes us with garments of salvation, Isaiah 61. But it's important to note here, this act of grace, this act of mercy comes before they're kicked out of the garden. So this is showing that he's not sending them out vulnerable. So here we see next is mercy's protection. This is our last stop along the way. "And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished man from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken." So this kind of seems harsh, doesn't it? Kicking him out of paradise? That had to be a sad day. But this was very merciful. God in his mercy, he knew that if they took of the tree of life in the sinful state that they were, there would be no chance of redemption. They would live in eternity, never being able to be reunited with the Father God. Everything that's accomplished here in the garden is fulfilled and is done through what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Okay? Adam and Eve, they desired to have knowledge that would make them like God. Every sin that we commit, it promises knowledge. We think we're going to get something from it, but it actually robs us. It robbed Adam and Eve of an intimate relationship or a perfect relationship with God the Father. Though it seemed harsh that God was kicking them out of the garden, it was actually merciful. They were exposed to a temporary death in order that they may be protected and that they may have chance for eternal life. They were protected from an eternal death. That's God's mercy. Mercy protects us from what we don't know that we don't know. When I was in college, I dated this guy before I met Barry. And this guy, he seemed to have everything that I wanted in a guy. He was handsome, but Barry's more handsome, of course. But he loved the Lord. He was very dynamic, a go-getter, all those things that I was looking for in a guy. He even took me home to meet his family. So I thought that relationship was going somewhere. And I was very upset the day he broke up with me. I didn't understand what was going on, really. But he said a word, which is, I think, is hilarious. It's a Central Bible College spiritualizing your your breakup. He says, I believe God is telling me something. You are going to meet somebody much better than me. He turned out to be right. But anyways, years later, I find out this young man that had broken up with me, he fell away from the Lord and began living a lifestyle completely contrary to God's word. That was God's mercy protecting me from what I didn't know. And I got the guy that God wanted me to have. Yeah. Amen. And we've been together 25 years, if you count the dating. So that's not bad, huh? Mercy always protects us by assuring our future through what Christ accomplished. In verse 24, if you have your Bibles, you can look at it. I didn't put it up here. In verse 24, after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. So it's cherubim guarding the way, flashing sword. Man cannot get back in to have access to eternal life. Only God could give him access to that. Now, fast forward to the New Testament. The Holy of Holies, there's a veil. Do you know what's embroidered on the outside of that veil? Cherubim. That veil protected man from entering into the Holy of Holies, to the presence of God. And what happened when Jesus died on the cross? When he gave his life, granting access to all who would come in need of mercy and receive the grace in their time of need. That veil was ripped from top to bottom, symbolically and literally granting access through Jesus to the Father. Amen. Thank you, God. Scripture says that Jesus, he's the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. This is his plan. He had this in place before they sinned in the garden. His plan is still prevailing to this day. He cares about each one sitting in your seats today. Death entered the world through sin in a garden. Jesus defeated death in his resurrection from a tomb that was located in a garden. From a garden to a garden. The book, that's the end of the story. He won. He conquered death and hell forever. God delights in showing mercy. He delights in his creation. He delights in you. The redemption of God that he offers, it reveals his mercy, but it also reveals his sovereignty. He's still in charge. Nothing Satan does can disrupt what God wants to do. He'll accomplish it. He's going to accomplish it. As you yield your life to him, he will fulfill those purposes that he has for your life. And when we get to heaven, for all who call Jesus Lord, we'll be standing around the throne and we will be singing a song. And one of the greatest songs I think we are going to be singing is the song of mercy, because it is only through his mercy that each one of us will be there. It is only through his mercy that each one of us are here. If you could please stand. This morning, God wants each of us to understand the extent of mercy's reach. His arms are never too short to reach into any situation you might be facing or anything that looms on the horizon that you fear. His arms are outstretched. Mercy is available even before you need it. He has made provision for you to receive forgiveness because of what Jesus has done on the cross. But he also gives you grace. If you're facing temptations today that you just are struggling to overcome, there is a grace that God provides that empowers you to be an overcomer. You need to turn your heart, your life, surrendering to him. And he will enable you to walk before him with the strength that he gives. So let's turn our hearts to the Lord. This morning, God, we thank you. We just adore you for the mighty work that you're doing in our midst, for the mighty words you have spoken to our hearts. Lord, knit us together as one, that we may fear your name, as one church, one body, called to do your purpose, one spirit with you as our Lord. We thank you for your mercy. We rejoice in that mercy today. May we leave here enabled to freely give what we have freely received. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.